the pandemic, our relationship was already in trouble.
It's like we argue about everything.
I mean, he comes home and he sits in the driveway, in the car, instead of coming into the house with me and his son.
See, she doesn't trust me. And she talks about me to her girlfriends. Like she speaks so loudly like she wants me to hear. What am I supposed to do with that?
Why do you have to get out of the bed at 11:20 at night to return a text?
You see, she doesn't even know how to talk to me.
And he refuses to talk to me.
Like the first couple weeks of quarantine, together in the house all day and all night, just confirmed it's me.
I can't do this anymore.
You know what? I'm done.
I think I'm done.
Maybe we need to get some help.
I think we need to talk to somebody.
Marriages are under attack. And if you or someone you know needs help, then join Pastors Lewis and Stephanie Tucker for My Church Marriage Seer Training. Pastors Lewis and Stephanie Tucker have designed a course to help your marriage to not just survive, but to thrive. Get the tools necessary for a successful biblical marriage. You can enjoy this course live on Roku, Fire Stick, and Apple TV. Why not make an investment into your marriage that will impact generations? My Church Lynchburg Marriage Seer Training.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Pastor Tuck. This is my beautiful wife, Pastor Stephanie, and welcome to My Church Marriage Seer Training. Now, I know some of you may be wondering, what is marriage seer training? Well, in the military, soldiers who are part of special forces are required to go through seer training, which stands for survival, evasion, resistance, and escape, so that in the case of capture, they can endure the extreme conditions they may encounter in the hands of the enemy. Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor Stephanie and I are going to teach you how to go from just surviving marriage to enjoying marriage by training you so that you can endure the trials of life. And if you'll commit to joining us every third Thursday, we're going to give you the tools necessary to have and maintain a successful biblical marriage. But before we begin, let us pray. Pastor Stephanie, pray us in.
Dear Lord, we thank you, Father God, for this day. Lord, we just thank you for all the things that occurred. And Lord, we just pray that we have lived a life according to your will, Lord God. And Lord, I come right now on behalf of everyone who's watching our My Church channel, looking at seer training, Father God, that it will touch their hearts. Their marriages will be improved. Their marriages will be rejuvenated, Lord God, and that they know they have a library of information, Father God, that's provided for them to deal with all sort of issues with the marriage, how to improve it, how to maintain it, and how to cause it to flourish. And Lord, I thank you right now for doing this ministry with my husband and my pastor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, tonight, before we teach anything, before we give steps or solutions, we want to talk to the couples who are tired. Not angry anymore, just tired. Tired of trying, tired of misunderstanding each other, tired of feeling alone while sitting right beside the person you married. Some of you didn't come tonight because your marriage is strong. You came because something feels like it's slipping away. And maybe you ask yourself quietly, is this just how it's going to be now?
And we want you to hear this first. Before any instruction, before any homework, you are not strange. You are not alone, and your marriage is not beyond hope.
Because many marriages don't explode. Mm-hmm. They simply lose oxygen. Mm-hmm. Conversation fades. Affection fades. Understanding fades. And often what fades first isn't love. It's focus.
Wow.
Couples slowly stop noticing what is good about each other and begin rehearsing what frustrates them. And over time, your thoughts reshape your emotions. But here's the promise of the gospel. Jesus specializes in resurrection.
He sure does.
If God can breathe life into dry bones, He can breathe life back into your marriage.
Amen.
The Bible says in Ezekiel, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. See, God's original intention is for the two to become one flesh. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, Pastor Stephanie and I wrote a book called The Two Will Become One Flesh. You can get your copy on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you find your books.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if you don't already have a copy, you need to get a copy of this. Yeah. It's what every couple needs to know before and after saying I do.
Amen.
I'm telling you, and I'm not just saying this because we wrote it. This because God counseled us in marriage. Mm-hmm. And we took the time to share the revelation that God gave us because we wanted to see marriages thrive. We wanted to see marriages as successful. And we wrote this book years ago, coming on 15 years ago, I believe.
Wow, really?
I believe so. I believe it was 15 years ago.
Man.
Mm-hmm. Either that or my first book was 15 years ago. I can't remember. I know I wrote one of them in 2009. I can't remember which one. But in any event, we'll get back to that.
Either, so.
But I don't have my glasses. What did I say?
You're asking me and I.
Your eyes are better than mine. But in any event, we wrote this book a long time ago, but we've been married going on 29 years this mm-hmm. year, and God gave us this wisdom to help you. But in the two become one flesh, we teach something foundational. Marriage is not just a relationship. It is a divine merging of identity.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't see roommates managing responsibilities. He sees one covenant life mm-hmm. being formed. See, in Genesis, he said the two shall become one flesh.
And I can't see. So this is a true example of the two will become one.
Yes.
Both of us
are blind together.
I'm telling you, we got more glasses around this house than Fred Sanford and still can't find none.
I thought I had some over here on the table, but maybe I don't.
So when couples, you know, when they forget they are one, they start protecting themselves from each other instead of fighting for each other.
See, struggling marriages are not suffering from a lack of love. They're suffering from a loss of unity and a loss of intentional love. Somewhere along the way, they stopped seeing us and started just surviving as me and you.
Wow.
But there's hope.
Yeah.
See, before we give tools, I need you to hear this clearly. A dead marriage is not always a failed marriage. Right. Sometimes it's simply a neglected marriage. Mm-hmm. And what has been neglected can be restored. But remember, resurrection always begins with submission. See, if you remember Jesus in the garden, he had to come to the point where he decided, not my will, but thy will. Mm-hmm. See, before the resurrection took place, there had to be a crucifixion.
Yeah.
Some stuff will have to die. Selfishness, yep. Control, offense,
yep.
Unforgiveness. See, before God can resurrect your marriage, some stuff's going to have to die.
Have to.
But God promises, I will restore the years that the locust has eaten. So let's talk about the resurrection process. The first step in that process is to reconnect the heart.
You know, most couples, they don't stop loving. They stop feeling heard. James chapter 1, verse 19, a very familiar verse. Be quick to listen and slow to speak.
Yeah. In the two become one flesh, we explain that communication is the lifeline of unity.
Mm-hmm.
When communication dies, connection follows.
Yeah.
You know, want to give you a practical reset point. Listen without preparing a defense. See, most of the time when somebody's talking, and especially when it's an intense moment of fellowship, and they're trying to share their point, we're not even listening to what they're saying. We're trying to figure out how we're going to combat what they just said.
Yep.
We're trying to find our counterpoint for what they just said. But you've got to learn to listen without a defense.
Speak feelings, not accusations. Like, you know, I feel disappointed when you're late to dinner. Instead of, you late to dinner every day, I ain't cooking jack.
Yeah, because when you speak accusations, people take it personally.
Yeah.
But when you speak feelings, people can empathize with what they did wrong. They can understand how my actions are now affecting you.
Yeah.
And try to start seeking understanding before seeking solutions.
Because you can miss some stuff.
When you start understanding how things have affected someone and you can understand what's going on or where they are mentally, physically, emotionally, then you can start to understand how we can resolve this situation. Mm-hmm. And here's something powerful the Lord showed us. Love doesn't die in behavior first. Mm-hmm. It dies in perception.
Wow. Say that again.
Love doesn't die in behavior first. It dies in perception. Mm. So many people think, well, you know, we're not being intimate. They're not, you know, they're not being close to me. You know, she won't kiss me. She won't hug me. You know, we don't hold hands anymore. We don't sleep together anymore. She walks right by me, you know. Mm-hmm. It doesn't die in behavior first. It dies in perception. Mm-hmm. If every thought you rehearse about your spouse is negative, your heart eventually follows your mind.
Sure. Rekindling love begins by intentionally remembering what you once admired, what you appreciated, why you chose them.
Yeah. One of the practices I always try to tell couples when they're in the midst of these things. First question I always ask them, why'd you marry him in the first place? Why'd you fall in love? Because if you can stop all of the aggression, stop all of the bickering, stop all of the fighting, stop all of the being hurt and upset, or the distance of the we're not together, we're not touching, we're not with the coldness, and just stop for a minute. Cut all that off. Pause for a second. Go back in your mind to those days when you were just dreaming about each other, when you were away and you would, all your thoughts were there and all you would talk to was your girlfriend or your boys about her and everything, and you would scribble in your notebook and you were every, you know, and on your phone, they were the face on your phone screen and on your computer and those kind of moments. Go back in your mind for a minute.
You got to.
You can remember when you were kids. You can remember when you used to run around with your cousins acting crazy. And you can remember in high school. You can remember your glory days when you were an athlete. And you can remember when you had hair. You can remember all of those things vividly. Go back to the days when you were dating, when you were in love with one another. And remember, what was it that made me decide that they were the one? And focus there. Stay there. Meditate on that for a while. Get that feeling back. Long enough to say, wait a minute. There is a reason why we're together.
And can I just talk about a segue with that? You know, you have to be mindful about why you chose them, because you might even surprise yourself to where you may have to truly repent. Seek the Lord how to work through that. And what I mean that is, you know, I married him because he was good to my children. My children loved him.
Mm-hmm.
So I got married because I got tired of being a single mom. Well, those kids are going to grow up.
Yeah.
And then it's just going to be you and him left.
Yeah. And if that's the case, then now you got to deal with some harsh reality.
Yep.
Then that's the case. But guess what? That doesn't mean that it's over.
That's right.
That means now, God, I need you now to heal my thinking, to give me a new frame of mind.
Yeah.
And for now, I need to explore some new reasons. I need God to show me something different.
And even when you base a marriage on just physical attraction, you know, that lust that people tend to feel, you know, lust and love are totally different. And it's inevitable. We are all going to get older, where our bodies are going to change. Disability or illness may occur. But if you just base on what you see and not embracing the person for who they are, your perception will always be skewed. And immediately, if that happens, the enemy knows how to play with that, toy with that. And he'll put things in front of you that aren't helpful for your marriage.
Yep. And the reason why we're telling you to do this is because you won't suddenly change your connection. Mm-mm. You must first renew perspective.
Yes.
You got to learn to replace criticism with appreciation. In the Song of Songs, in the scriptures, it teaches us to speak life to our spouses with admiration and affection. It talks in that kind of loving language, you know, my darling, my, you know, it the Bible teaches us to talk to our spouses that way. Because what you consistently speak, you build the environment you inhabit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how we build that environment, is by speaking that. If that's the person you want, you need to start speaking. You know, I have a loving wife. Mm-hmm. My wife adores me. Even if she despises you, start speaking that by faith, because the Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue.
Yeah.
Declare, I got a man of God. I got an awesome provider.
Yeah.
I have an affectionate husband. Yep. Start anointing his head while he sleeps.
Sleep. Yep.
Stop putting a drop of oil in his coffee. Not a whole bottle. Now you don't want to get you don't want to give him you know, some bathroom issues. but you definitely like trust the Lord.
And, you know, again, yeah, we are telling you these things because, you know, we've not only counseled people, but many times we've even gone through it ourselves. But the issue is not staying there. So, you know, Pastor Tuck and I, we always talk about homework. And in order to make things work at home, you got to do the homework.
Yeah.
You got to put it in.
That's the whole point.
Yep.
Of doing homework is so that things work at home.
Yep. So try a daily reconnection. Each night, share one thing I appreciated about you today, one feeling I experienced today, and one prayer request. That's good.
You know, step two, rebuild friendship. Many couples stop being friends after becoming spouses, but friendship sustains covenant. See, friendship is intentional. Mm-hmm. The Bible says in order to have friends, you must first show yourself friendly. In other words, you got to treat them like you like them. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think I need to say that again. See, in order to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. In other words, you have to treat people like you like them.
Right.
And so it's important to treat your spouse like somebody you like. And see, many couples stopped treating their spouse like somebody they liked once they married them.
Yeah.
See, early love felt strong because it was intentional. You intentionally treated them well. You intentionally treated them kind. You did kind things for them. You did conscientious and thoughtful things for them. Mm-hmm. You planned time.
Yeah.
You paid attention. You pursued each other.
Oh, yeah.
But love fades when intentionality disappears.
That's right.
Not when covenant disappears.
I'm sorry.
See, I got you.
Sorry.
But see, one of the things that I quote mm-hmm. in our book, The Two Become One Flesh, This is a practice that I learned by watching my father when I was young. And I coined this particular phrase, and it's one of my quotes. So if you hear somebody else saying it, tell them they owe me my copyright trade, because this is copyrighted material. But I said, if you never stop dating the woman you marry, you'll always have a wife and a girlfriend. Yeah. See, you'll never have to worry about infidelity. You'll never have to worry about a side chick. See, because if you never stop dating the woman that you marry, you'll always have a wife and a girlfriend. See, I got a girlfriend and a wife, but she's the same person.
Yeah.
Because I never stopped dating her. See, we weren't dating and then we got married. I married her and I kept dating her.
Mm-hmm.
See, because dating, we put in that intentional effort. We planned time. We paid attention. I pursued her. And so I never stopped. I never stopped buying her gifts. She's always got surprises coming.
Yeah.
Every day. Her life is Christmas. Her life is Valentine's Day. Her life is her birthday, because every day, my job, I tell people, my job is to anticipate her needs. Before she can ask for something, it's already there. If she thinks she wants it, I got it. Because that's my job. I teach my sons. I said, my job is to make sure she's always wearing my jersey. My wife don't wear no LeBron jersey. She don't wear Kobe jersey. She don't wear Michael Jordan's jersey. She wear Pastor Tucker jerseys around here.
Yep.
Because that's my job.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's the thing. That's what our job is to make sure that we're always doing these things. We're constantly. And see, if you've gotten out of the habit of doing that, that's what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to rebuild that process of treating each other kind, that concept of friendship, that place of where you're doing things for one another, where you want to spend time with each other, where you want to be friends with each other.
Mm-hmm.
See, the problem is we get married and then we want to spend time with other people because we like other people more than we like our spouse. There's nobody on this planet that I want to be with more than my wife.
Yeah.
If there's ever a time where I go somewhere with somebody else, I can't wait to get home.
Right.
I don't care what I'm doing. I have other activities that I enjoy. I like going to the shooting range. I like going to do things, but I can't wait to get home.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm not doing it with her, it's less fun.
And he always checks with me, like, you know, baby, you need anything, et cetera. And ladies, when they are doing this, you know, sometimes you just got to give them a chance. And I say that because if you've been hurt continually in the marriage relationship and then your spouse is making a change for the better, don't hold those past grievances against them. Give them a chance so that they can give you gifts, so that they can bless you. And, you know, it could be simple things like coffee creamer. I could say, he's like, already in the refrigerator. Even when I wanted to comment about best friends. Pastor Tucker and I, when we first got married, I don't know where we came across Schoolhouse Rock. And we were watching it.
Yeah, Blockbuster.
Lord.
Yeah, that ages us, but yes, Blockbuster.
VHS tapes, y'all. So we got it and we watched it. And I mean, when I say I was howling, tears running, he was even laughing and singing Verb and all that stuff with me. And I thought to myself, man, he's my best friend. You know, just little simple things that you all enjoy. And it could be anything. All right.
That's the thing. And that's the thing. We enjoy life together because friendship is something that we never lose. We watch cartoons together. We do Legos together. Everything we do together because we enjoy each other.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's the thing. That's why our marriage will never die. Yeah. Because that is the thing that fuels marriage.
Oh, yeah. And you cannot be emotionally distant all week and expect intimacy on demand.
Oh, you might want to say that again for the people in the back.
You cannot be emotionally distant all week and expect intimacy on demand.
Yes.
Love must be practiced again. You hear that? Practiced, meaning tried, trusting, effort. And, you know, the key truth is love is not sustained by feelings alone. It is sustained by chosen actions. You know, often feelings return after loving behavior resumes. I mean, how simple is that? Feelings return after loving behavior resumes. And you have to begin to think, okay, like, you know, what can we do to cause these feelings to return? And one in particular is a weekly date, of which is non-negotiable. Now, that doesn't mean that you got to walk out of your house with a fur coat on and red bottom shoes. No. You know, a weekly date could be, all right, let's just drive down the street and get some Brewster's ice cream. You know,
that could be sitting across the dining room table from with your favorite frozen meal.
Yeah, true that. That's true.
Because that you might be running past each other all week and never spend any time together, but sitting across the table from each other with a meal, and it could be, like I said, a frozen meal that both of you enjoy, and just sitting there with a pint of Ben and Jerry's.
I was just going
to
say that.
And sitting there and just being able to have a pleasant conversation. Mm-hmm. That's a date. Like I said, people, we put too much emphasis on what the world calls something.
Yeah.
Well, ain't nobody got no money to be going out. Who said?
Right.
You can get a Little Caesar's pizza and a pint of Kroger's ice cream.
Right. I was going to say, yep.
I don't care if it's a bag of Doritos and some Now Laters. Mm. If that's your thing, that's your thing. But whatever it is, make sure that you all are happy with it and y'all doing it together.
Together. Yep. Laugh together again. Sometimes Pastor Tuck and I will think about something and we will just start cackling. Or I'll go, remember when, you know, or we'll work on something on the Legos. And it was so funny. One time we were working on Legos and then we decided, let's watch the Lego movie. Now we watched this with our kids and we didn't get it. But now that we're doing Legos and watched the Lego movie, we were cackling, weren't we? Mm-hmm. So, you know, laugh together again. Talk about dreams, not just responsibilities. Like, I got to mow the grass. I got to this. I got to that. No. Talk about dreams. You still got them. So another homework assignment, this is number two. It's called the friendship reset. So schedule one intentional date, one distraction-free conversation, one shared memory conversation. Okay? So going back, thinking about those intentional things, you know, not allowing your mobile phone just to blow up. Tell the kids, look, we're going out. Mom and daddy be back in 2 hours. You know, this is who you contact instead of us. And one shared memory conversation. And the third step is to heal the wounds.
Unhealed hurt quietly poisons unity. Mm-hmm. In our book, we teach that unresolved offense creates emotional separation in a spiritual covenant. You know, we've got to recognize how important this is. Instead of, you know, saying you always say I felt hurt when.
Yeah.
You know, because these things I told you, it allows you to communicate and understand where the other person is. Mm-hmm. You know, a good healing exercise is to write privately one hurt that you carry, one apology that you know that you owe, and one forgiveness that you know that you got to release, and then share them prayerfully.
And you know, Pastor Tuck and I recently went through something where I didn't realize I hurt him, you know, and it hurt him. I never seen him hurt that bad. You know what I'm saying? So I did apologize for that. And I mean, I sorrowfully apologized. And, you know, he forgave me, right? And even with that situation, he and I prayed together and that situation changed because God saw that it was hurtful and he wanted our wounds to heal. So a marriage disconnected from God eventually disconnects from each other. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you got to restore spiritual unity. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible says a three-cord strand is not easily broken.
Nope.
And that's why it's important to take your issues to the Lord. Mm-hmm. This might be the biggest shift for some couples tonight.
Yeah.
See, because many spouses spend years trying to change each other through correction, reminders, mm-hmm. frustration,
manipulating,
or nagging, manipulation. Mm-hmm. But transformation rarely happens through pressure. It happens through prayer.
My God.
Instead of constantly telling your spouse what they need to fix, begin taking them to God. Mm. Pray, Lord, work in their heart and work in mine. You know, we learned this early on in marriage. And this is something I never forgot. I remember early on in our marriage, I used to get frustrated with her. And I would start praying, God, I need you to do this with her. And God was like, I don't want to talk about her. Let's talk about you. And every time I would go to God about her, God would say, I don't need to talk about her. I need to talk about you. And after a while, I got the point mm-hmm. where I stopped trying to take her to God. And I said, okay, God, show me what's going on with me. Hmm. Whenever we would have discord, I would say, okay, God, show me my part in this. Mm-hmm. Because I knew that he could handle her. I needed him to deal with me. Hmm. Because what we don't recognize, whenever there's discord, there's always two sides of discord. And you have to recognize that if God's in the center, God knows both sides of it, and God ain't ever wrong. So he got this. And God has the ability to affect both hearts and minds.
Yes.
And so God's already working in the middle of it. But if you're so focused on trying to fix the other person, you never fix your side. I think I need to say that again.
Yeah, you do. I felt that one.
If you're always trying to fix your spouse, you never fix your side. Watch this. If you've ever tried to make up a bed and you're working with somebody on the other side and you keep trying to straighten their side of the bed, your side is always going to be crooked.
That's true.
Because you can't work on that side of the bed and work on your side of the bed at the same time.
Nope.
But if you straighten your side and they straighten their side, then the bed gets straight.
Wow. I bet y'all look at making the bed different now, huh?
And see, only the person that's standing there watching can tell you which side is crooked. Mm.
Even hanging a picture. Same thing.
So that's why you don't worry about what they did wrong. You worry about straightening your side. Mm-hmm. And so you have to ask God, show me where my side's crooked.
You know, one thing, when I would do that, I've gotten so much better with time and age. I would have to tell myself, it's not about you, Stephanie. It's not about you, Stephanie. Because anytime I would get offended, I would take everything personally. Literally, like I had Velcro all on my clothes and my forehead and everything. I would take it and just attach it, you know. And I have to remind myself at moments, that it ain't all about me.
See, when you pray for your spouse, your heart softens. Mm-hmm. Resentment weakens.
Yep.
Offense is destroyed.
Yep.
Compassion grows. And God begins doing internal work conversations cannot reach. Prayer changes the atmosphere of marriage.
Yes.
Because spiritual intimacy rebuilds emotional safety. Tell your spouse, we need a spiritual reset. If you're sitting there watching with your spouse right now, look at them dead in the eye and say, we need a spiritual reset.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that begins by praying together daily, mm-hmm. even briefly.
Yep.
Speaking blessings over each other. Reading one scripture together at least weekly.
With all the Bible apps and everything, it's no excuse.
No.
And it's brief.
Let me help you with the resurrection moment.
Yeah.
When Jesus raised Lazarus, he didn't lecture him first. He called him out of the grave.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Lazarus, come forth.
Mm-hmm.
And Lazarus didn't wait to feel alive. He just came out.
Yes, he did.
See, some of you tonight are waiting for your marriage to get better before acting better.
Ooh.
Mm. But see, resurrection works in reverse. Mm. You act in love, mm-hmm. and feelings follow obedience. Oh, I think I need to say that again.
Yeah, you did.
Mm. See, you act in love and feelings follow in obedience. Mm. Watch this. I've used this illustration several times before. So if you've never heard it, you need to catch this. If you've ever seen somebody with one of these classic cars, I mean like a 1970 Impala, candy apple red, the big thick mag wheels, I mean fully restored to the factory, and you see him with it, and you're like, man, that's a nice car. They be like, yeah, that's my baby right there.
Mm.
They're emotionally invested in that car. They talk about it. They personify it. Oh, yeah, she cherry. You know, they pull up the hood, let you see all the inside. And,
pristine and clean.
Oh, yeah. And they start telling you the story, how they found it in the back of this old farm, and it was rusted out, and they tell you where they got this part offline at this place in Indiana, and they drove all 3 hours up to this place up here, and they got this from this person, and they start telling you, they go through the whole details of it.
Mm-hmm.
And see, and you ask them how much they want, oh, no, this is my baby right here, because they connected to it. They are emotionally invested.
Mm-hmm.
They'll tell you how much they love that car.
Mm.
How they shine it up and how they keep it polished. They keep it in the garage or they keep it under a cover and they don't hardly drive it because they want to keep it in that condition.
Yeah.
Because they have put so much energy and effort into it. Mm-hmm. Now, when they first bought it, they were not that invested.
Mm-mm.
But how did they get that invested? Because of all the time, the effort, the energy they put into it.
Yeah.
See, it's because when you put the work into something, the feelings come after.
Mm. Mm.
See, you act in love and then the feelings follow the obedience. Mm. See, once you do the work, once you start putting in the effort, the intentionality into your relationship, all of a sudden you have the feelings.
Yeah.
Because people always say, well, Pastor, I just don't feel about my wife the way you feel about Pastor Stephanie. That's because you ain't put the time in. You ain't put the effort in. See, you ain't got invested.
Hmm. Wow.
See, I got 30 years invested in this woman. That's why people be like, ooh, Halle Berry, ooh, you know, Beyonce, ooh. And I'm like, ooh, I'll kick them winches in their face. They come pull up in my house.
And my will. No, I'm joking.
Because this right here.
I love it.
Is the queen of my life. And I wouldn't trade her for not nay one of them. Do you understand? Not with all they fame, celebrity, all they money. I don't care what they got. They can't touch her because I've invested in this and I am emotionally attached to her.
Mm.
And see, that's what you have to understand. That's where the feelings come from.
Yeah.
And see, that's what they don't understand. I feel closer to her today than I did the day that I met her. Every day I love her more. And that's why. And so the same way that Jesus called Lazarus out, you need to be willing to come out of your emotional grave.
Yes. Yep. So and so, come forth. Right? Yeah. Resurrection doesn't mean pretending nothing happened. Okay? But it means choosing each other again with God at the center.
See, a resurrection marriage isn't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's intentional. And when God restores marriage, love returns. Trust rebuilds. And two people rediscover that they were never meant to fight alone.
That's right.
God's in the battle with you.
Yes.
Now, we're going to give you some questions to write down that you all can spend some time with one another talking to help start the work. We're going to give you some questions to do a heart check.
And if you can't write fast enough, you can always go back to the channel.
Yeah, and you can you can rewind and listen to this.
That's correct. Yep.
When did we begin drifting emotionally? That's important.
Yeah.
Because you need to pinpoint, how did this happen? How did we get here? Because if you're not, they say, if you don't know your history, you're destined to repeat it. You know, this might have been happened because, you know, you had children, and after children, you know, we stopped being intimate. Some people made the mistake that I always tell young people, don't put your child in your bed. Well, we came home, put the baby in the bed. The baby started sleeping in the bed. The baby didn't get out of the bed till they were 12 years old. And by that time, you know, our intimacy level was gone.
Yep.
And so at that point, you know, we just got used to living separate. Well, that was a big mistake. And so now we got to go back and figure out how to backtrack about that.
And some people end up using the child as an excuse.
Yes. You know, what happened? You know, sometimes man or the female had health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And once we had health issues, like you said, our intimacy level died down.
Yep.
Well, if that's the case, if you're still having health issues, then maybe we need to go and get some medical help to figure out how we can get past that.
Yeah.
Or if now those issues have gone, now we got to go back and rekindle the sparks because now we've gotten into a habit that we've got to undo.
Yeah.
But we've got to figure out, how did we drift? The next question, what does one flesh look like practically for us? See, for Pastor Stephanie and I, we're connected at the hip. That's not everybody's reality. Everybody don't have to be us. But what does that look like for you? You know, we laugh all the time. We talk to my daughter and her friend. And you know, he's an outdoorsman. He likes to fish and stuff like that. That's not my daughter's reality. So he like, do I have to give up fishing? No, you don't have to give up fishing. But it's like, that's the thing. But you'll have commonalities that you do like to do together.
Yeah.
So it's like, do you have to do everything? No, you don't. But you got to figure out, what does that one flesh look like for you all? Yeah. You know, the next question, do I feel safe being honest with my spouse? That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, then that question is why?
Yeah.
And then talk about that. Because if you've done something to betray their trust, then you need to fix that. Y'all need to talk through that.
Mm-hmm.
And reassure them that that's something that you need to repent of, and reassure them that that's not something that's going to happen again.
That's right.
What shuts me down emotionally? talk through that, figure that out, and then work through that. Because it can't just be, well, this shuts me down, and then stay there.
Right. That's just the way it is. I've been like this.
No.
You know.
Figure out what that is, because you should never be shut down from your spouse.
I thought he was saying no to me, but he was.
No.
I was like, what? Anyway. So. One thing with healing, you know, as we all know, healing is a process, right? So you have to identify what hurt still needs to be addressed. I mean, you go to the doctor and you're having some pain and you don't tell them what's going on, and then you still have it because you didn't let them know so they could address it. And then what forgiveness step must happen? That's a good one.
And then spiritual unity. Mm-hmm. How often do we invite God into our marriage? Yeah, that's big. Because if you're honest, maybe we don't, maybe that's the problem. Mm-hmm. We've been trying to do this on our own. And that needs to change. What spiritual habit can we begin together this week?
And, you know, just the term our. How often do we invite God into our marriage? Our means together. You can't say, how often do I invite God into my marriage? Mm-hmm. People do that because the other person in the relationship, the other spouse, isn't even trying. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, with all of that saying, you're going to be married for a good little while. I plan on being married to this man until the Lord says, yo, y'all need to come home. Okay? So your future vision of your marriage, what kind of marriage are we building? What kind? What small change can begin resurrection today? One small change.
And so you got to remember that just because your marriage is struggling, it doesn't mean that it's over.
That's right.
God can breathe life into anything. If he can breathe life into dead bones, to dry bones, he can breathe life back into your marriage. But you got to invite him in.
Yes, you do.
God doesn't just take over.
Nope.
God doesn't just get involved. He's got to be invited. And you got to remember, resurrection always begins with submission.
Ooh, that's so good.
Not my will, but thy will. And that in order for resurrection to take place, some stuff is going to have to die.
Got to.
Your selfishness, that control,
yep.
That offense,
yep.
That unforgiveness, whatever it is.
Laziness.
Be prepared. It's going to have to die.
It's going to have to. Man, and I'm sorry. I just was thinking about Jesus and just what he did for us on Calvary's cross. What he did for us. The fact that he was beaten, bruised, and spat upon. You know. Because he was obedient to his Father, it demonstrated the love God had for us. You know, so Christ already lives in us. All we have to do is follow the example, right? So if we don't get it perfect, we can always go back to the template. It's in the Word. Christ.
Amen. Yeah. Well, we pray this blessed you.
That's fine.
And we declare that your marriage shall live again. But if you've been blessed by this message or any of our messages here on My Church Virtual Ministries, and you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, you can do so by sowing a financial seed. You can use Cash App, $, My Church Channel, or go to our website, lovemychurch.org. and click sow a seed. We've got all kinds of ministries available here at My Church Virtual Ministries. We've got all, we got three different worship opportunities on Sunday mornings. We've got Reveal TV with Pastors Kendall and Kier McDowell. We've got Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton. We've got The Enjoyable Life with Drs. Russell and Yavita Cash. We've got the Leadership Academy. We've got Medicine for the Mind. We've got Women of Worth. We got the Man Cave. We got Marriage Seer Training. We've got the Heart of the Pastor. We've even got My Church Laughs. We've got all kinds of faith-based content to help you grow as a believer. We've got the tools necessary to help bridge your walk of faith and supplement your growth. And so if you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, sow a financial seed. But in any event, make sure you share this word with somebody you know who needs it, because I know you know somebody who knows who needs it. And if you want to get a copy of our book, The Two Will Become One Flesh, What Every Couple Needs to Know Before and After Saying I Do, you can go out on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, wherever books are sold, and you can get a copy. Like I said, I'm telling you, it'll bless your life. Every person you know, if you know somebody who's getting married, make sure they get it. This is basically premarital counseling. Right in their hands. Like I said, we did this so that people would have, people who did not have proper premarital counseling would have all the tools necessary to have a successful marriage. And so, like I said, I'm telling you, it's going to bless your life. It'll help you make sure that your marriage is successful. You'll have a guidebook, a tool to be able to go to and refer back to help you continue to walk the way God wants you to walk in marriage. And as always, you can always check out My Church Marriage Seer Training. But in any event, God bless you. I'm Pastor Tuck. This is Pastor Stephanie. Make sure you come back and see us again on next time. Stay tuned for our announcements. We love you and love see you next time. Peace.
News. We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming with a special alert. Get ready for the premiere of Reveal TV on the My Church channel, featuring the powerful preaching and teaching ministry of Pastors Kendall and Kiera McDowell. Experience a word that is truly prophetic, anointed, and Spirit-filled to change your life. Coming to the My Church channel Sundays at 8 a.m. Experience the dynamic ministry of Reveal TV, coming soon to the My Church channel. Don't miss it.
When we are cultivating an intimacy with God on that level, we are doing more than just receiving mere instruction. We are receiving direction.
You were approved before you ever acted, chosen before you even understood the assignment.
You need to hear this and hear this clearly. You are the most important person in this church.
And if you stay connected, they're going to contaminate your faith. They're going to pull you from the path that I'm trying to take you on.
That scripture tells you exactly how to use the Bible to overcome addiction.
Women in the Bible may have been minimized, but there were a lot of powerful women. I'm certain they poured into others.
And that's why we've got to learn to not despise our seasons, because it's the thing that teaches us how to trust God.
Gratitude melts tension. It softens hearts and opens doors for deeper communication.
People always want to make change more difficult than it is, but every change starts with a choice.
At My Church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works, and we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church On The Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.